Hello, I'm Janet.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are
Two girls
and a bottle of wine.
Because men love boobs.
And girls love wine. And we're here on a Monday
after finally.
Two Tuesdays in a row. Finally, Janet didn't jack us up. We are here and it's beautiful. Spring is springing.
It is.
After snow, was it last week?
Yes.
Yes. It all blurs together at our age.
But doesn't it seem like just like last week we were talking about April showers bringing in May flowers and it's already almost May?
It is.
Like it's crazy.
Believe it. I have to renew my tags in May.
Oh, I had to do that this month. It's not fun.
But I budgeted for it. So I'm just
like a bankruptcy.
I'm waiting
here in Colorado.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting and I'm like, come on, May come so I can do it online. Because I've never done it online. Have you?
This was the first time I did.
Was it fairly easy?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Okay.
But I was used to registering my tags online back east.
See, I'm used to old school, getting there at 7 a.m., being the first in line so you can get it out of your way and get back
right.
to work in time for the 8 o'clock world to start.
Yeah, I don't think it's not too challenging. You should be good.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try because I tried it a couple weeks ago and it said it was too early. I'm like, come on, I'm willing to pay you now. I just want to get it over with.
That's hysterical.
Just to mark it off my list.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep thinking I'm going to forget it, because obviously I'm obsessed with it. Speaking of obsessed, I went to Jelly again.
I saw that. I was really jealous.
It was so delicious. We took the fam, and they had never been, so we had to get three of every type of jelly. I tried the Thai peanut. It was really good,
even though
you can't. Yeah.
It.
I didn't try the lemon because, again, I don't like lemon. But, yeah, it was really good. Who doesn't put their phone on silent when you're recording a podcast? How rude.
We were going to go this weekend, too, but then everything just, I don't know.
What did you do?
Well, I did. So I was motivated. And I was like, I'm going to spring clean our entire apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I either underestimated time or overestimated myself. I'm not really sure. But so it took me like 7 hours and I cleaned the entire back half of my apartment. And my apartment is not big. So that means I cleaned the hallway, the bedroom, and the bathroom. But like when I say I spring cleaned, like I on my own flipped mattresses, pulled my bed out, like my entire bed frame.
You're crazy.
Pulled the dressers out, like I cleaned like light fixtures and like everything in the back half of my apartment. So now I have to do the front half of my apartment. But
was that all day yesterday?
No, I did this Friday, partially Friday night, and then some finished up Saturday morning.
Wow.
Yes. And so then Friday night we just hung home, had our rum slurpee night.
Nice.
And
did you have a dance party?
We did have a dance
party.
We
haven't talked about your dance party.
We did actually have a dance party, which was hysterical. And played Tiger Woods Golf on Wii, which was
And this is just
hysterical.
You and Joey?
And Swev.
Oh.
And then Saturday we went out to watch the Avalanche game.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they're in the playoffs.
Yep, so we did that with our friends. And
I forget about the Avalanche until they go to the playoffs or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, we have a hockey team.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we can go do this. And then...
Was it crazy?
We went to Stoney's. Have you ever been to Stoney's downtown?
No.
It's like where I feel like everybody goes to watch sports.
Uh-huh.
Because they have like 5,000 TVs. It was not as crowded as I thought it was, not nearly as crowded as it is for other sporting events.
Hmm.
And then yesterday, Joey played soccer for a charity event, so we went and I went and watched that, which was fun.
Nice. It was a beautiful day yesterday.
It was gorgeous out. I actually got some color in my shoulders, which was nice.
Did you wear sunscreen?
No, but I had a denim jacket on thinking it would be like chilly at the park.
Yes.
And I only had a tank top under it.
Oh.
And so it wasn't as chilly as I thought it was going to be. But
well,
it was nice.
Steve is out of town. He's on a cruise ship. He's on the cruise ship for 7 days before it hits land. It's crazy. Unless he pays for Wi-Fi, I'm not going to hear from him. But I will hear from him because he can't stay off his phone long enough. And he knows if I see him posting on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and not saying hi to me, the wrath of Janet sucks, even if you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So we thought he was leaving on Sunday. Like I even told you, he leaves on Sunday. So Saturday we wake up and we're getting ready to go to this Easter egg hunt with the fam, and he's like, I just got my travel stuff, which was annoying to me in the first place, because I'm like, what the heck? Who waits till the last minute?
Right.
But that's, I guess, normal for the cruise line industry. So they sent him his travel stuff, and his plane took off at 1:20 a.m. on Sunday morning, which is Saturday night.
Right. Like, I don't count that as Sunday.
So I had to drop him off. We left the house about 10:30 on Saturday night to drop him off. By 11:30, so he had plenty of time. And it was dead. Like, he probably could have showed up at the airport at 12:20. Like,
exactly.
And made it to his gate, but didn't want to chance it because he had a lot of luggage for 2 weeks on it. Or actually, it's 26 days. Sorry. So it's 3 weeks on a cruise ship.
That's more than 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
We thought it was 21 days because it's three cruise ships, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we're driving there, and I'm like, 21 days. And I was like, wait, what day do you come back? Because I was driving him to the airport, so I wanted to kind of mentally prepare what my life would be like on the day he came back, like if he'd have to wait at the airport or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up the calendar, and I count, and I'm like, what the heck? It's 26 days. He's like, oh, yeah, I think they're going to try and make me wait in Spain for 5 days in between cruise ships, but that's not certain. So it's going to be anywhere between 21 to 26 days. But long story short, it's the longest we've ever been apart. I don't know how I feel about this. Day two, I'm feeling okay, but how am I going to feel on
like
day
21, 18? Yeah. That's crazy. Because the longest has been 2 weeks, like 14 days, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll see.
Good luck with that.
I know. Can you imagine being away from Joey for 26 days?
That wouldn't even happen.
You freaked out on a weekend.
That just wouldn't even happen.
I know. But it comes with the territory. It's his job. I go to work 40 to 50 hours a week, and he has to find stuff to do with his life. So
yeah. I think that if I had done it in baby steps how you did, where it started with like long weekends and a week. No, I'm saying that, but I still don't think I could do it.
Well, in his previous relationships, when he was doing just comedy, he would go to like Australia for a couple months.
That's just craziness.
And he got divorced. But no, I'm here. I'm good. I actually, like yesterday, cleaned the kitchen, which I love doing. And I remembered how much I loved doing. And I did some other cleaning, went grocery shopping, and then just vegged out and watched a couple Netflix. And I was asleep by 9 o'clock.
That's always nice, though, to have. Like, I feel like that's what I enjoy, like, the first day, because I get so much done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, okay, I got everything I need to get done. You can come back now.
Well, then I went back to work today, so it wasn't as big of a deal.
Yeah,
and then
that's
you came over tonight. I just got to keep myself focused and busy, and when I'm not, I just need to keep myself in the TV.
Well, I'm always free, so feel free to make plans with me on the weekend.
Yes. The problem I've done in the last few weekends that he's like done weekend trips is I book myself, and then I'm like, I got nothing done.
Right.
Laundry builds up, so I think I'm going to, like, this next weekend, like, refocus myself, mm-hmm, and get the laundry and the house, and then see. I don't know. We have dinner plans.
Not next week, but the following week.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
We do.
Anyway, so we're talking a lot about our lives. This is probably boring people. I'm sorry. This is what happens when girls actually sit and talk.
That's true.
So, speaking about lives and our lives. Yeah, we're starting with some things that you might be doing that is sabotaging your life.
Yes.
And some of these are pretty eye-opening.
When I read, that's why when I read this, because I'm like, every morning I'm hooked on EliteDaily.com, Thought Catalog, and All Women's Stock, just for like, just to, I don't know, like read interesting articles, mainly Elite Daily and Thought Catalog. They have like just really good articles. And when I read this one, that was instantly what I thought was, wow, like how many of us do these things like without even realizing that they're ruining our lives?
Right. And this first one we kind of touched on last week, and yep, I've been like rolling around in my head lately, like, am I like overdoing it? But it's overworking, because you think exhaustion is a status symbol. And productivity is self-worth.
I agree. And I think that I have been rolling around the opposite idea in my head of, am I being, like, almost giving myself a guilt trip because I'm so used to overworking.
And now you don't
And
have
now
to.
I don't have to. Like, I almost feel like I'm guilt tripping myself, because it really is the norm for you to feel like you have to overwork.
And you have found work-life balance.
Yes, but
and
I
like
have
you
a
said
guilty
last week,
conscience
you were
about it.
You'll get rid of that.
Yeah, I will. And then the second one, and we talk about this all the time, is maintaining relationships with people who are predominantly negative towards other. If they're judging everyone else in the room, you're probably not the exception. You're just not hearing it directly.
Yikes.
That's like the what Susie says of Sally says more of Susie than of Sally thing.
Have you ever heard that? I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I try to keep that in mind.
You're going to have to write that down for me.
I will.
Okay. Constant deflecting. If I were to write a self-help book, I would leave 350 pages blank and have the last one say, "The problem is you." You've heard it all before, but few people actually internalize it. No matter what happens, it's only ever a matter of what your mindset is. And that is the only thing you will ever be able to control. It's true.
I like that. That's a big thing for me, is realizing, like, you can't change the situation, just how you think about it.
True.
Number four is being connected constantly, being legitimately psychologically attached to a phone or other technology, maintaining the mindset that you're only as good as you appear to be to other people.
Right. And we just talked about this.
Right before the show
about how that is one of the things that might cause your significant other to cheat.
Yep. Is when you're always attached.
Yeah. And you and Joey have maintained.
New rules.
Yeah. New rules.
No phones. No social network or internet things after work hours.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Steve has gotten much better over the last couple years. But I find that when he jumps in his phone, I'm like, I must look it's like instinct. I have something to look at, but I don't. Yeah. I usually do not.
Yeah. I think it's more about, like, Joey always jokes me and he goes, be in the moment. Like, so that's what I think we're trying to accomplish, is more making our own memories versus about everybody else's memories that they're posting.
Right. And it'll help you stop trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
The next thing is not taking time to be alone. I am one of the few people that I know that will say, I love my alone time. I love my quiet time. That's why I think the Steve and I relationship works, is because he does go away for a day or so, or 26 days, and I have time to, like, have a mental reset.
Right.
Quiet moments between racing thoughts and scheduled hours is where instinct and intuition and creativity comes through. So just remember that. Take some time, quiet time. Be quiet.
That one's hard for me. My mind just doesn't turn off.
Right. But if you eliminate everything else around you, like, it lets your mind kind of create.
I try to read, and that, like, helps me, like, that's like my alone time. And I think it's because it's what I like to do.
Right.
Because I'm like an antsy person. I have to be doing something, so I don't sit well and just
I'm
think.
The opposite. I can just sit.
Like, if, like, I try to do that, like, on in the mornings, like, on the weekends, just, like, so my, like, first, like, half hour in the morning in bed, just, like, relaxing, no noise, no nothing yet, and then I always fall back asleep, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I gotta get up.
Yeah, like, it doesn't work for me. And if I'm, like, out of bed, I have to be doing something.
I used to have a place that I would go to, like, a physical place, where I used to live, that was, like, this creek, and it was off on this path, so it wasn't near a road, it wasn't near houses, it was just chill. And the only people that would come by would be other people walking, but it wasn't a busy trail, and it was just amazing to go there. And I haven't found a place near here that, but I haven't really tried. I need to get my bike out and bicycle, not my bike, vroom vroom, it's my bicycle, and go find another place like that. I bet it's around here. Parker is so...
I'm sure you have way more options. Yeah. So the next one is lashing out towards others without realizing that doing so is a mechanism of insecurity, and it usually correlates with something you aren't dealing with within yourself.
I know when I get stressed, I have to make sure others aren't around me as much, and I have to, like, focus on not being reactive when they do approach me.
Right.
Because I am horrible. I get that from my mother. Like, I remember, like, approaching my mother when she was in a bad mood, and I would get snapped. Like, what'd I do? I am so that girl.
I only lash out at Joey, and I think it's because he's always around.
Right.
He's the only one that I...
Well, even my coworkers, when they open my shower door, which is what we call our office doors, because they're not really doors, like, I'm like, yes? I have to, like, work on it. If I'm in the middle of something, like, send me an IM or an email.
That's the number. That's going back to number one, though, the overworking.
I know.
It's important to take time throughout the day.
The next one of the things that you might be doing that might be secretly sabotaging your relationship, believing that everything is either inherently good or bad, and that's it. It's as simple as how many things that used to mean the world to us are now irrelevant, and as complex as the fact that all of reality is a matter of perspective. That was deep.
I always say that, though. Have you ever heard me say that? Everything is relative?
Yes.
Like, I always do that. And Joy always thinks it's a bad thing because he's like, it seems pessimistic to look at it that way. But I'm like, it's not. I'm just putting...
You're flexible.
Yeah, like I'll always be like, yeah, this is a great day in comparison to the snowy day we had yesterday. But when you compare it to the 90-degree day that we're going to have in July... No, it's not amazing. Like, Joey wants to think of things in, like, amazing or, like, horrible. And I think of things as just, like, today's amazing compared to yesterday, but maybe not as amazing as tomorrow.
See, I'm, like, trying to constantly be like, I'm alive. Yay, I made it another day.
I don't know. But that's why I'm doing the 100 Happy Days project to try and find that
focus on that positive.
Exactly. And the next one is waiting for someday or something to give you happiness.
That will never, ever happen.
I hate that. I hate that.
Why?
Because I think that my age group, that's what everyone's mentality is. Oh, like once, you know, like in the next 2 years, once I get married and settle down, like life will be perfect. And it's not.
That's why you have to find the wonderful, happy thing.
Yeah.
Every day.
Exactly.
I think I've gotten good at that, and I don't know where that came from, but I'm glad it's here.
There you go.
Like, yeah. I've even been stressed at work lately, but that's getting better, and I'm finding that it's easier for me to find the happy place.
There you go. Everyone needs a happy place, or a happy thing, or a happy anything.
Every day.
Every day.
The next one, believing you are your thoughts and feelings when you are the one who experiences them. When you believe this, and by extension that your thoughts equal feelings, you become controlled by them and live at the whim of appeasing them. We all have negative thoughts, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean we're negative people.
Right.
We might share those negative thoughts with our close friends, but, you know, it doesn't make us a negative person.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because I might complain to you about stuff, but it doesn't make me a negative person, right?
No, and what I've tried to do is disassociate my thoughts and my feelings. Like, I might be frustrated at something that happened, but it doesn't have to mean that I'm in a frustrated mood for the rest of the hour or day or whatever. That's what I've tried doing, is separating, like, the quick frustrated thought that runs through my head and letting that take a hold of my feelings for the whole day.
And that's awesome.
And, like, not letting your thoughts own you. So number 10 is not making time to be outside. Not just go outside, but be outside. There's a difference, and it's important.
It's kind of like taking the time to stop and be quiet. Like, step outside of what's going on in your world.
Yep.
And it kind of puts it into perspective.
That's why I don't know if you've noticed this. A lot of the parks in Denver, when you go to them, have horrible service. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
And I like that because it forces me to not be on my phone and enjoy being outside.
Yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, narrating your life through the eyes of other people and what you believe they'll think of you. Most times this has to do with what you fear of yourself. You'll never know exactly what other people are thinking, and you shouldn't try. It's none of your business. I have a problem with that. Like, I definitely find myself doing that a little bit more. And more. And then I have to stop. And then it happens again. I find myself doing that more and more. And then I have to stop. How about you?
I think that I've started to get better about it. But there are definitely days where... And I think that Facebook is the worst part about it. Because like you said, it's like you see everybody else's painted picture of what they want their life to appear like on Facebook. And so it's almost like when you're looking at that stuff, you're like, oh, well... I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. And it...
Like, so-and-so's traveling the world.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in Denver.
Exactly. So it's hard to not care about what people think about you, though. We're selfish creatures.
It takes some effort. It does.
Yeah.
All right, the next one.
is never learning to think for yourself. What you've been taught and shown is a valid by its own merit, but ultimately not the mindset or belief system you or anyone else has to ascribe to.
Yeah. Thoughts?
I think that's probably the only one on this list that I can say I've got that covered.
Right. Yeah, me too. I think I've kind of had to be independent, so.
Yeah.
The next one, seeing pain and loss and heartbreak as things that are designed to destroy you, rather than just redirects and the natural unfolding of life. We never leave things behind unless they need to be left. The only thing that hurts is the expectation we attach to someone or something that we shouldn't have. Which is true.
It is.
Things happen, you just have to roll with the punches, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the next one is expressing disagreement with unnecessary negativity because you're stuck in the mindset that whatever doesn't align with your personal beliefs is an attack and offense against you, and it's ultimately incorrect.
And I see that on Facebook all the time. People, and I used to post not really controversial things, but things that could be controversial, but then when people would react stupidly about them, I would just, I'm not a fighter.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, unpost.
And I'm too much of a fighter, so that's why
I avoid
at all costs. But mm-hmm. I agree. I think that if you take offense to everything, then that's something within you. It has nothing to do with what somebody else, anybody can put whatever they want out there.
Right.
If you are going to take offense to everything that everybody says or does,
that's
then
selfish.
One, it's selfish because you think that everything revolves around you. But two, it's, to me, that means that you're insecure in your own thoughts and opinions because you can't let other people have their own.
Yeah, definitely an insecurity. And the last thing that you could be doing that could be secretly sabotaging your life is listening to your head more than you do your heart and soul. Yeah, it's a cliche, but cliches are cliches because they're true. So hear us out. Intuition is a little voice that packs a hefty punch, but we're conditioned by a society that values logic and reason and mind. As one of our favorite quotes goes, love isn't logical, grace isn't logical, miracles aren't logical. There's a time and a place for logics, but more often it's a matter of listening to instinct and quieting your mind down enough to be able to do so.
It's easier said than done.
It really is. It is. And if you are looking for more helpful advice, you can check out the ebook, The Truth About Everything. Mm-hmm. You can Google that to find that.
Yep.
So we want to turn it to a happier place.
We do.
And to do that, we are going to talk about things we should start celebrating. And these are not like birthdays, anniversaries. These are like unconventional things.
And I like any reason to celebrate.
Cupcakes.
Yes.
And wine. That's what I need. There we go.
I want this thing to hang in my kitchen. It says sometimes the only thing to celebrate is just that you have a bottle of champagne in your fridge. And I like that.
Yes. So you always have a bottle of champagne in your fridge.
I do. You never know when you might just never need know. To celebrate. Like maybe tonight. It's Monday.
It's a Monday. Made it through.
All right. So the first one is promotions. It's more than a new job. It's a step up on the ladder, one that you worked your butt off for. Getting promoted at work is the acknowledgement that you're not only someone seen as suitable to lead, but that you've proven yourself and your commitment to a company, and you deserve to revel in that pride.
And that's something that isn't really unconventional, but I don't think people celebrate the way they used to.
And I think it depends. Yeah, I think it depends on some people too, mm-hmm. how they celebrate it.
The next one, raises. It doesn't have to be a change of job, but even just a small raise or becoming salaried when you were once hourly is important. Financial stability, however, that looks for you is crucial to life well lived. And there's no reason to not celebrate working hard and being able to live more comfortably because of it.
I agree. I liked this one. This one was one of my favorites on the list because I feel like people don't do this. Friendship anniversaries. Relationships come and go. I don't know about you, but I've never celebrated a 5 or even 10 year anniversary with any of my best friends. But most people do it with their significant others. It's ridiculous that we don't celebrate the relationships in our lives that we already have. The ones that are lifelong and decidedly forever.
That is a good point. I've never thought about it.
But like I could tell you the exact, like I know mine and Joy's anniversary, but I couldn't tell you.
I was sitting here going, well, I started MozTech, but
exactly.
Would that count?
Like I can't pinpoint. And, like, even, like, my best friends from home, like, I could probably give you a year time frame, but I can't tell you, like,
wow,
I think we should start celebrating friendversaries.
Friendversaries. The next one is sobriety. When people say they've quit drinking or they're X days, months, years sober, it's often met with judgment for either having once been addicted or not being fun and wanting to go out and drink anymore. Regardless, the stigmas are false and unwarranted. We should acknowledge the willpower it takes to refrain from alcohol or drugs or whatever is something you no longer want in your body.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing to celebrate. You just have to celebrate it in the right way.
Right. Without alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
The next one is the completion of a project. Often it's the only light at the end of the tunnel. Hard work is only celebrated in our culture as it equates to monetary success. But that isn't the most important part of achievement.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is the end of a chapter. You could be leaving a city or a home or a habit, whatever it is, commemorate appropriately. Maybe we wouldn't get so caught up in the stress of change if we started seeing it as a good thing, a thing that will better us, a thing that is worth acknowledging formally.
I agree.
I love going away parties.
Joey and I didn't do that when we left the East Coast.
I threw my own in Missouri.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it was so hard for me to...
Let go.
Yeah. If we ever leave Denver, there will be a huge going away
shindig.
Party. A shindig. The next one is traveling and returning home safely. Sure, you can have going away and coming home parties, but those are usually reserved for people who move somewhere far for a significant period of time. I'm not saying throw a party for when you come home from vacation, but if you're taking time to travel, especially by yourself, you deserve to come home to a dinner table of family and friends who want to hear about everything.
There you go. And the next one, overcoming a lifelong struggle, even just for now. The thing about lifelong struggles is that they're ingrained somewhere deeply within us. They're difficult to shake. If you're able to, even for a small amount of time, rejoice in that. Forget about forever. Appreciate what you've done and make it a point to commemorate it appropriately.
I like that one. This one's perfect, Jeremy. Quitting a job. We can't all be Marina Shifrins. I have no idea who that is.
Probably someone that worked the same job forever.
But we can all pop the champagne over finally being out from under that awful boss's dictatorship. Or just moving on to a different company.
There you go.
New beginnings.
You know what we're going to do? We are going to finish this list next week. We're leaving him in suspense.
I like that.
You like that?
We're about halfway-ish through it.
Right. So you got to come back next week, next Monday.
Yes.
Okay. I know you have something coming up, and I forget every Monday.
No, to look at the calendar a little while. Before
I talk to you. I know. It's like in May, like the end of May, right?
No, middle of May.
Okay. So we'll be back next Monday. You'll have to listen to us then to find out the rest of the occasions that you need to celebrate that aren't conventional.
I like that.
All right. Enjoy your spring, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.